Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Use it to your advantage. Take advantage of all the things that we have there. There is no barrier to entry. If you can get there, you can get in and use all of our stuff. We don't know who you are when you come to our site. We're not tracking that sort of thing. Nobody's going to ask you for your email, or you're not going to have to log in or anything. The only thing that you will have to do, if you want to subscribe to my newsletter, which I encourage you to do it, it's free, by the way, as all of our stuff is. It's the weekly publication that we send out. You will have to give us your email for that. Otherwise, no problem. Let me introduce you to our new friend. Dan Heath is our guest, and he along with his brother Chip have written an outstanding book called Made to Stick: Why Some Ideas Survive and Others Die. Dan is a consultant at Duke in the corporate education department, and he's a former researcher at Harvard Business School. He's the co-founder of ThinkWell, which is an innovative new textbook company, and he's our new friend. Dan, welcome to the show.
Jim, thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
It's good to have you here. Congratulations on your outstanding book.
Oh, thanks so much. It just launched last week.
Well, we're glad to launch it on this show. In fact, this show has made many books, Dan.
Well, Godspeed to mine.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Dan, when you talk about stick, when somebody reads this title and it says Made to Stick, do you think in the 21st century most people understand what that means? Do you think they know what sticky means?
I think most people, when they hear the word sticky, their first impression is waza, or you know, the Macarena, or some kind of a kind of gimmick fad. And really, what we mean when we say stick is more like John F. Kennedy's 1961 speech, where he challenged us all to put a man on the moon and return him safely within the decade.
Right.
I mean, that is a sticky idea, Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and the traits of stickiness are that everyone you're talking to understands you, which is not trivial when you're dealing with diverse audiences.
Right.
Everybody that is listening to you remembers.
Right.
Long after the point when you're communicating, and it changes something. It changes their opinions or their behaviors or their values.
And that last one is the difference between a little soundbite and something that really is sticky, something that really sticks.
That's exactly right. I mean, yeah. There are vegans out there who can recite the jingle, you know, to all beef patties, lettuce,
right.
Whatever the heck that is. I can't even do it myself.
But, right.
There are vegans who can sing along with that, but that, it's clear that it hasn't changed their behavior.
Exactly. Well said. But and the first thing there you said is everybody has to understand it. It has to be instantaneously intuitive, doesn't it?
That's right. And if you think about the JFK speech, I mean, and I think this is, by the way, a great test for businesses. Was there one person on Earth that spoke English that didn't understand what success was going to look like for that mission? I mean, was there any ambiguity about a man, moon, or decade?
Right. Exactly.
And I think that's where a lot of business mission statements and visions fall short, is they don't have that admirable level of concreteness that JFK used.
Why do you think we have a problem getting there?
Well, I think that in the back of our minds, we have this nagging suspicion we're going to sound smarter if we speak abstractly. Because we can use bigger words that way, and it sounds like
sounds impressive, doesn't it?
It absolutely does, and I think, you know, we think we'll sound smarter, and I think what it ultimately does is make us forgettable, you know. And the problem is that abstraction, and when I'm saying abstraction, I'm talking about the typical business speak, like maximizing shareholder value, and improving customer service, and growth through innovation, and all these great words.
Boring.
They're boring, and even worse, they wallpaper over disagreements. Like if you're sitting in a boardroom with some of your top people, and you're talking about, well, we need to improve customer service. Now, everybody around that table may nod their head, and every single one of them may have a different idea of what that means.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bob thinks it's hiring more people. And Judy thinks it's the people that we have need to smile more. And Steve thinks it's we need to reduce the lines at the checkout counters. And so the way to beat that, the way to surface these hidden disagreements is to speak concretely.
You know, I did something that I felt that was. Let me put it this way: for my business, it was stick. It was something that stuck. I started a consulting company in '89, and I was trying to come up with a way to explain to people what I did because I was going to do something that most of the people I was doing business with had never done or heard of. I was going to be a business consultant to small business, and most of the people I would call on, you know, had never seen one of those. And so they would have, you know, they wouldn't quite know. They knew what a consultant was, but they didn't know how it would help them. And when they would say, "What do you do?" I would say, "I'm a vice president. You can rent."
Oh, I love that.
And believe it or not, you wouldn't believe the referrals I got over the years from people who would say, "Yeah, you ought to call Blasting Game. He's a vice president. You can rent."
I think that's brilliant, and it reminds me of, you know, in Hollywood when producers are pitching new movies, they use what's called a high concept pitch, and you probably heard some of these, like the movie Speed was pitched as Die Hard on a bus, and the movie Alien was pitched as Jaws on a spaceship.
So it's okay to associate your idea with something that's totally intuitive?
Oh, absolutely, and in fact...
Yeah.
If you think about the following challenge, like what you were facing is the challenge of how to pour a lot of meaning into someone's head quickly.
Right.
Right. And they probably didn't have infinite patience for you to go on and on about what you did.
That's right.
Just guessing.
That's right.
And the way to do that, the way to get a lot of information across in a short period of time, is to tap into what people already know. People already know what a vice president is. People already know what the movie Jaws is like. So when you tell me it's going to be Jaws on a spaceship, mm-hmm. all of a sudden I've got, not the whole picture, obviously, but I've got a ballpark picture of what you're trying to accomplish.
Right. And then there's that new movie, I think it's called Snakes on a Plane.
Yeah, exactly.
The title of the movie is The High Concept.
It is The High Concept, bitch. Yeah, exactly. That's a great point. I hadn't thought about that.
No mistaking that one, is there? Hey, where's the book available, Dan?
The book is available pretty much everywhere books are sold. It's at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Borders, probably two-thirds of the airport booksellers.
What about your own website? You want to give us one? You got one for the book?
Absolutely. It's madetostick.com, and the first chapter of the book is available free up there. You can check it out and see if it's for you.
Madetostick.com. Dan Heath is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. You know who I am. He and I are going to come back and make your small business just a little bit stickier right after these messages, 20 after. Stay with us. Little Steely Dan for you.
Gone up in blueprint.
Welcome back. It's 23 after. We're rocking and rolling with our new friend, soon to be good friend, Dan Heath. We don't want to fly into false colors. We're not sure he's going to like us. We think he does, but we're hoping that he likes us. We're hoping he'll come back. He and his
so far so good, Jim.
Okay. He and his brother Chip have written a book called Made to Stick, and I think you're going to like this book, folks. Why some ideas survive and others die. You know, one of my friends has written a book called Why Don't You Want What I Want? And I love that title because...
a great title.
Yeah, it's Rick Maurer, by the way, is the author of that book. And I you know, sometimes I feel like that when I have an idea that I want to convey to my employees or my, you know, the people around me, that my customers, whatever, you know, I want to make it stick. And I keep thinking, you know, why aren't you buying this? And so I need, you know, there are times when we all need to learn how to create things and make and communicate them, I should say, so that the idea sticks. And if it doesn't stick, of course, it could be that it doesn't deserve to stick, right?
It could be that, or it could be something else. In fact, in our book, we talk about the arch villain of stickiness, which is the curse of knowledge, which is a phenomenon discovered by some psychologists and behavioral economists in early 90s. The curse of knowledge says, the more you know about something, the more expertise you have, the harder it is for you to imagine what it's like to lack that knowledge. So when you get really smart about something, it's hard for you to remember what it was like not to be smart. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, a classic example is, you know, think about the IT guy in your office. And, you know, you're having a computer problem, and you call him over. And a lot of times it's hard to get a clean, crisp answer out of that person. Or think about conversations with doctors or lawyers or accountants, and they're using all this, you know, these buzzwords that you can't understand, and they're talking above your head. And the problem clearly is not that these people don't know what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is exactly that they know what they're talking about,
right,
and that they know a lot more than you do.
And they have the curse of knowledge.
They do, and
they've cursed you with it too.
And here's the really bad news: is we're all the IT guy in our fields of expertise,
mm-hmm,
because, you know, by definition, in our careers, we get better at stuff.
It's the reason why we train salespeople not to talk jargon with customers.
That's exactly the same effect. You're exactly right, and I think the solution to this is exactly the stuff we've been talking about with regards to stickiness. Because sticky ideas defy the curse of knowledge because they make us speak concretely.
Mm-hmm.
They make us tell stories, which everyone understands.
So if we're working on a project, we're trying to launch a new product, a new campaign with our employees, a new product with our customers, whatever it may be, first thing you got to do is you got to write down all you know about it, I guess, and then go through and delete things, right? Delete the jargon, delete the things that Aunt Meanie wouldn't understand, things like that.
That's exactly right. And also, you know, take a look at, so sometimes we start speaking so abstractly, like our mission is to be the best customer service provider on the market.
Right.
Here's a test to check that. Number one, is it possible for two people in your company to both embrace that but have completely different ideas of what it means? And number two, would it be likely that one of your competitors would say the same exact thing? Because if it is something your competitor would say, it's probably not a very good strategic differentiation for you.
Right. What are some examples of how we would use stickiness? What would be an example that you could think of for small business?
I think there are a handful of really, really, really good things that small businesses could do to make themselves a bit stickier. One is make sure everybody inside your firm has a common mental image of the customer. And Trader Joe's does this really, really well, and it's actually sort of comic the way that they do it. They talk about their target customer as an unemployed college professor who drives a really, really used Volvo. Now, I should make sure everybody knows what Trader Joe's is. It's a national grocery chain that's smallish. It only probably has, you know, a tenth of the SKUs that some of the big chains have.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all really relatively exotic, diverse items, like your roasted red pepper soup, mm-hmm, or things like that. But they're cheap.
Right. By the way, folks, Dan let a little bit of his knowledge creep in there. SKU is stock keeping unit. It means things that are on the shelf.
Yeah,
Go ahead, Dan. That's all right. I'm just holding you to your goals there.
That's right. That was completely opaque language.
Go ahead.
So what Trader Joe's is doing with that unemployed college professor is, keep in mind, I mean, at any given moment in time, there's probably zero of those people in the store.
Mm-hmm.
But what it does is it gives them a shared vision of the type of person that they should be engineered to sell to. And the college professor, what does he want? He wants interesting variety, exotic foods, but because he's unemployed and he drives a used Volvo, he wants it cheap too.
Mm-hmm.
Another example is what my brother and I call the Ask Andy test. And here's how this works. If something, you know, radically different happens in your organization, there's a change with a supplier or with a customer, or there's some sort of shakeup going on in the market, it is your frontline employee's first instinct to say, ask Andy, if Andy is the founder, or insert your name instead of Andy.
Mm-hmm.
Because the mission of a founder of a small business should be to communicate clearly enough so that people on the front lines can make their own decision when things change.
Give us, what is that knowledge thing again that you said a minute ago?
The curse of knowledge.
The curse of knowledge. Folks, don't have the curse of knowledge. By the way, the book, Made to Stick, it's the one with the duct tape on the front. I'm not kidding, ladies and gentlemen. This book has duct tape on the front. Hey, Dan, thanks for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time.
Jim, thanks so much.
Quick break. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. I'll be back with Don Lambro.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.